Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, December 30th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, good afternoon, Melody. What are you going to do in a couple of days? You're going to have to start saying 2015.
Oh, and write it. Everybody has to write it.
I know.
Yeah.
Probably won't. I know with me, it'll be, I don't know, February or March before I reliably remember the year. Then I'll get it. You know, I'm about 90 days behind on getting that adapted. And then next year, it'll be the same thing.
2015. Amazing. Absolutely.
Yeah, it really
amazing.
Is amazing when you think about it. It almost sounds like we're dealing in, where's Buck Rogers? You know, I grew up watching Buck Rogers cartoons and that sort of thing. And I don't know, we should be running into the Emperor Ming and the Planet Mongo and Buck Rogers. I mean, we really are. It's pretty amazing. I don't know what kind of movies you like to watch, but I like old film noir movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll catch them out of the 40s and 50s.
Absolutely.
Sometimes 60s, that sort of thing. But it is interesting. I can go back and watch movies from when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really pay attention and you realize, my God.
That was a long, long time ago.
It actually wasn't all that long ago, but it was a long time ago in terms of technological development. I mean, I look at those old cars, or that sort of thing. I see that, and they had more in common with buckboards than they do with modern automobiles. And modern automobiles have more in common with spaceships than they do with the automobiles that were around when I was just a kid.
And to think 100 years from today,
mm-hmm.
there probably will be private flying machines
for
transportation.
Some of us, maybe. For some people.
We'll have wings at that point in time. But,
yeah, right. They'll probably just zip around psychologically or something.
Yeah,
just,
I can't even imagine. And then you don't really have to question how far advanced are we really? Sure, there's neat little gadgets and, you know, all these little things that have been created, but, you know.
Yeah, that's the one thing about it. I mean, in the end, the species is not evolving as rapidly as our technology. It's moving so fast right now that 90% of the people can't even comprehend the technology that's out there. The technology is designed where we can use it. It includes just a handful of buttons, and we can make things go faster, up, down, right, and left. But in terms of understanding that technology, at least 90% of the world has no real clue to what's going on, other than, gee, isn't that cute? And what does that mean? You know, I mean, the implications, we are becoming disassociated from our technology. Yes, we can use it. We don't understand it. I can, you know, the automobiles, talking about automobiles back when I was a kid, I could fix those cars. I could pull an engine out of an automobile, but they were relatively simple devices. Nowadays, you need a PhD in electronics to work on an automobile. Plus, there's not space enough to get in under the hood to where you can even change the spark plugs. On a lot of these cars, you need special tools just to change the spark plugs. It's pretty amazing.
And this is another reason why they don't last as long as some of those
vehicles do.
Oh,
the new ones do. I mean, they're incredibly better automobiles than the old ones. It's not just a little bit. I mean, it's a lot.
Well, for performance and everything like that.
And longevity, too. You get 250,000 miles out of automobiles now when you were lucky to get 100,000 back in the day.
You could own some of those old ones as long as you took care of it. I mean, that was the problem. No one took care of them. You didn't replace the
miles out of an old car.
Maybe not the 40s. I'm not talking about the 30s and the 40s, but, you know, probably 50s, the 60s. 50s, 60s,
even the
you 60s. Could.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. 100,000, but you didn't get 250,000. I mean,
you didn't have to fear for your life if you were in an accident, though, either.
No, you didn't. No, it was like driving down the road in a tank. Now it's like driving down the road in a Coors beer can. You know, if a bird comes by and just taps on it, you got a dent in the beer can. So they are lighter. And if you do have, you know, we had bumpers. I remember the bumpers on automobiles. And they were hard enough where if you hit a tree, that tree was going down. You understand? And you would just barely, if at all, scuff the bumper. Nowadays, you go out there and you tap something with a bumper on your automobile, and the next thing you know, you're going to have $500,000 damages on your automobile. It's really...
The cost is unbelievable. But you know what? You know, Frank did have a point. He says that, you know, when the older automobiles, you could replace them, rebuild them, and reuse them. Today's just like everything else in our society, everything is disposable. Use it once and you get rid of it.
Yeah, I get that. But still, this is a heck of a deal. You get an automobile, it'll go 250,000 miles. That's a pretty good deal. And especially if you calculate for inflation and figure out what cars cost back in, say, the 60s and what they cost today, they really are an extraordinary, I mean, it's a big advantage, big improvement in technology, efficiency, yada, yada.
So the airbags were meant to save you, but now if they go off, they just about break your neck, your hands. You have to drive differently than we were actually trained. Remember, you were always taught to drive at 10 and 2. Now you have to drive at 7 and 4. Because if you drive at the higher angle and those airbags go off, they break your wrists and your hands, slap you in the face, you break your nose. But, you know, so.
This is the way to wake you up, just in case you're dozing as you're going down the road.
Well, there was no dozing with gold today. You had gold up $15.90 today at $11.99. Silver was up 46 cents at $16.38, almost up 3%. Platinum was up $20 at $12.22. And palladium was down 7 at $8.06. The USDX today was trading down 0.21 at $89.97. And crude oil today, I'm going to check on my other sheet here, much better report than that one, down 30.30 at $53.82. The paper markets today, the Dow went below 18,000. You have the 17,983 for the Dow, down 55 points. The Nasdaq down 29 at 47.77. The S&P down 10 at 2,080. Excuse me. And the 10-year yield down 0.02 at 2.19%. Well, I guess they did find the airline, that Asian airline. I guess they found rubble and bodies that belonged to that airline that went missing. So
the one that was most recently
the most recent missing. That's correct.
But they had reports that it went down in the area where they thought one of the earlier ones went down. Another one went down apparently at the same location or thereabouts. Pretty odd. Makes you wonder if we don't have some mad scientists, you know, living on some remote island out there in Indonesia, was blasting planes out of the sky with his death ray.
Well, now you're going to hear all sorts of things. I've seen reports where, you know, there was no one on that plane, and these are people from the other plane. I mean, just all kinds of crazy talk that is coming out of this.
Oh, I understand.
But what was interesting, what I wanted to know, is that they have a picture of a body in the water. And what I couldn't figure out, he has no clothes on. So I'm thinking to myself, well, why wouldn't you have clothes on?
Probably the pilot.
I mean, it shows.
There's a clue to pilot error may have been the problem, Melody.
You know, I don't know if that's, you know, some sort of a radar picture that's gone through the clothes. You know, you can see the kind of undies, and but the arms are up, and it looks like there's something strapped around the arms, and I'm thinking, well, that's kind of a bizarre picture to be showing.
But, well, I don't have an answer for you. I didn't see the picture and the rest of it.
It's bizarre.
But, you know, it's
on
a tragedy.
Dredge.
It's a bunch. It's a terrible thing, and the rest of it. But it's another one of these, I don't know, strange. It really is strange.
But yeah, it's that Drudge Report. It's on their, you know, top headline, and you know, shows his body floating with no, just undies on. And I'm thinking, well, how do you get rid of your clothes?
Well, you know what that almost implies?
Mm.
Almost implies,
yeah, I know,
the plane made some sort of a landing in the water, and some of the people survived that landing, and they you swim better without clothes than you do with clothes. If you're going to try swimming to shore with clothes, you know, you're probably not going to make it. You've got a chance. It suggests that someone may have survived. I don't
know. Wow.
So I got to get out of these clothes. Maybe I can swim to shore. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. But the internet, I don't know, one of the greatest, you know, creative writing opportunities the world's ever seen. People just make stuff up and they put it up there and we read it and we say, well, it must be true.
There was a report out today, you know, supposedly the Saudis is, you know, forcing the price of oil to drop, but also they are facing the largest deficit in its history. So, excuse me. So, you know, we've had the oil prices dropping since June because of a market glut. They're not going to do anything with their production. They've been urged to cut production levels at the November 27th meeting, but they refuse to do so. They're keeping up with their production at nearly its two-year-old level of 30 million barrels a day, but yet they have these deficits. So, interesting.
Well, it's interesting. Question is, how much money do they have in the bank? How much? What kind of savings do they have, and how long can they continue to lose money? I mean, this is like poker game. You know, when you've got $10,000 to play with and the other guy's got only $500 left of whatever he started with, you can get him. All right, if you've got more money, odds are you're going to just wear him down until finally his $500 disappears. If Saudis have enough money in this poker game, if they've got enough savings, they can afford to absorb the losses for a period of 6 months or a year, then they're going to put some other people in deep, deep hurt who don't have as much in savings. And it may be part of it's undoubtedly part of their calculation. They may not be making the money they need to support themselves, but they may have enough saved up where they can weather a storm for, you know, 6 months or a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't, then they have to make adjustments. They have to change this and have to get back to a higher price for oil.
All right, what's next, Al?
I don't know. I got an article here from the Washington Times entitled Sweetheart Deal. Unions allowed to cut retiree benefits rather than fix underfunded pensions. United Food and Commercial Workers Union is a heavy weight on the labor scene. It pays president $350,000 a year. They're having their next meeting in a swanky resort in Hollywood, Florida, and it just doled out $8 million to influence the last election and lobby Washington. $8 million. Political campaign contributions. That's $8 million in bribes. That's what we're talking about. But when it comes to standing by the obligations unions made to provide pensions to retirees, the same United Food and Commercial Workers Union pleaded poverty in persuading Congress to let chronically underfunded union pension plans cut the benefits of workers, including those already retired. Declining participation and factors in the unions and factors like the Great Recession have caused a new reality. And that new reality is simply this: what can't be paid won't be paid. That's part of it. For Taft-Hartley, multi-employer plans. Now, multi-employer is the key thing. This article is not about union plans in general. It's about the plans for people who have worked for a number of employers. And they had a pension fund that was started with the first employer and had another one with the second employer, a third one with the third employer. And they combined these under these multi-employer plans. And these multi-employer plans are traditionally managed by unions, even though the guy might not have been a member of the union at the first company or the second company or maybe even the third. The multi-employer pension plan is managed by unions. And guess what? The government is now passing a law that will allow them, well, these pension plans are perhaps 20% or more underfunded. And if they are, if they're underfunded, then they're going to allow them to cut the benefits for workers and current retirees. All right? Now, the whole point of the article, well, there's a lot of points to them. But the point is strong probability that the people who were in these multi-employer, they had several employers, they weren't really union members. Their pensions were managed by unions, but they weren't really union members in the sense that they were United Air automobile workers working at the Ford plant for the last 20 years. They may have worked for a union for part of the time they didn't, but they weren't one of the guys, essentially. They're going to see their pensions cut, right? And they're going to see this happen because government is allowing it to happen. And I'm going to suggest that government is allowing it to happen in order not just to deal with a new reality, but to allow the union managers to escape without being charged with breach of fiduciary obligation. I'll bet you look at these pensions closely and they were at least mismanaged and maybe to some extent looted. Because they weren't part of the guys. The people who were the beneficiaries of the multi-employer pension plans were not really connected to the union. The union felt no obligation. They were targets to be exploited. The implication in all of this, one implication. This is the first, I won't even say it's the first, but it's one of the early evidences that if you are trusting your future to someone else, you may be in jeopardy. Government is passing laws to allow pension funds to not deliver the promised pensions. Right? All by itself, that should be cause for concern. All by itself, it should be cause to sit back and say, you know, maybe I better handle my own affairs. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addison here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Back in a
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I am able to continue with yesterday's special. And, of course, gold is up today, $15. Earlier in the day, it was up $20. And we're going to continue that special on Men's State 61. $20 Liberty gold pieces. Now, these are certified by NGC or PCGS, and the price is $1,351. But if you were to buy a Gold Eagle today, because of the price of gold going up, that price would be adjusted. Now we're looking at a $85 difference, not a $100 difference anymore between a Gold Eagle bullion coin and a Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold pieces, but only $85. It's a steal. And Mint State 62 $20 Liberties, $20 more. If you purchase two of them, either the Mint State 61s or 62s will include shipping. There is a $20 shipping charge only if you purchase one. So, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. The Mint State 61 $20 gold pieces are $1,351. It's a steal. I mean,
no, it is. It's a heck of a deal.
I mean, I don't even know why anybody would even want bullion at these prices. An $85 difference from a gold bullion coin, you can move up all the way to a Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold piece.
Such a deal.
It's a deal.
Yep. What do we have for, I don't know when we should start doing some predictions. Shall we start doing predictions now, Melody? Do you have any predictions?
We'll do that on Monday. Or Friday. Friday.
Let's predict right now whether we're going to do it on Monday or Friday. Our prediction for here it is, the last show of this year. We're going to predict whether or not we're going to make more predictions on Friday.
I hope our predictions for that is better than... Actually, our predictions for last year were not bad. I mean, they're not bad. There were several gentlemen out there talking about problems in 2014, the first quarter, the second quarter. And I basically said, you're not going to see anything happen in 2014. Although there was a lot of changes in legislation, there was a lot of changes in how things are, you know, like the silver fixing. A lot of things like that changed, but the stock market kept going up, and you weren't going to see any major corrections in the markets because of the election year, and that held true. I did say you'd start seeing it unfold after the elections, and this has also been true. And I also said you're going to see things unfold and unwind going into at the end of 2014, going into 2015, and. I think this is exactly what we're going to see. I think 2015 is going to be a difficult year.
It's going to be a bumpy ride.
It's going to be a bumpy ride. You just cannot have all these conflicts here and around the world. And
they haven't been factored into the markets.
Not at all.
And that's one of the things to think about, folks. On the one hand, in times of instability, we would expect the price of gold to go up. We've had a lot of instability, geopolitical instability. We've had Ukraine and ISIS and Iraq and Syria. There have been plenty of problems in this world over the past year, and yet those problems don't seem to have played much of a role in the price of gold. On the other hand, we have what we believe to have been intentional efforts to suppress the price of gold. And we've had that for people who believe that, understand or believe that theory, are aware this has been going on for a decade or more. Well, how much longer can it continue? On the one hand, you've got pressures to hold the price of gold down. On the other hand, which can't be sustained indefinitely. On the other hand, you have pressures that should have pushed the price of gold up, and they didn't. And you have to wonder, you know, when are these things, when are we going to see a normalcy where the price suppression scheme finally folds up, doesn't happen, and it is diminished, or the pressures from Ukraine, Iraq, ISIS, Syria, the pressures that flow from that are recognized and push the price of gold upward. I'm just trying to say that there are a confluence of events here that suggest that the price of gold is likely to rise in this next year. Not a guarantee, but certainly, you know, reality would suggest that, and then we have manipulation.
I mean,
what's
going
to triumph, reality or manipulation?
I mean, there was predictions for gold to be 2,000 by the end of the year. Well, you know, anything can happen. I mean, you do see these markets. I mean, you can have a turn on the dime and markets can do crazy things, but certainly I didn't expect we'd see 2,000.
But they can't be crazy forever.
No. And I didn't think you'd expect.
Sooner or later, sanity prevails or the market.
Well, they were predicting 2,000 gold. Hmm. And, you know, someone had mentioned to me, well, you thought oil would be staying around $90. I don't think there was a analyst in the world, but maybe one or two that predicted oil would go lower.
Yeah, I
mean, this
understand.
Was something that
we
was
should do that, Melody.
Brought.
I'm going to predict right now that oil is going down to $20 a barrel.
$20
a barrel. That's my prediction, Melody. And I know it won't work, but nobody will remember. But
and
if
gold
it's right,
is going,
Melody,
and I'll
if
say,
it's right, I am going to be the guru. You understand? If oil goes down to 20 by the end of 2015, they'll say, oh, my gosh, is that guy Addis ever smart? He was the one who predicted oil would go to $20 a barrel.
You know, it's just like those who predict gold is going to 700. They make a splash. They make a point, and then they get to use the people because people believe it, and people end up doing what they want them to do instead of following the fundamentals and what is happening today and what is the true view, the truth of the matter when we view the fundamentals for gold and silver. And I think there was another one. I wasn't that far off from the price of gold for the end of the year. The U.S. dollar. There's probably one in a handful who thought it would hit 90.
No. Who would
imagine
that?
These are extremes, and certainly no one. And again, if anyone did predict it, it was the one who wanted to make a splash, and they got lucky. But
yeah, that's all it is, just a matter of getting lucky, mm-hmm. and then you claim to be a genius.
And
you know,
the one,
you throw a dart at the board, you put on a blindfold, throw the dart at the board, and it hits 20. You say, $20 for petroleum? Yeah, that's crazy. That's my prediction. So
there's radio people out there, other hosts out there that scream about all these situations that'll happen. I mean, how many black flags and black swans were we to experience last year? And how many of them come true? But yet people follow them, and they're good. Their information is intact, but you know they go off on the handle and predict all these silly things, and it's like, huh? But maybe that's what people want to hear. I don't know, but I don't do that. I try to take a long-term view of things. Again, the fundamentals and have a plan and see how everything fits together. That's how you become more accurate, and that's how you support your plan.
I don't just, you know, I have said this before, words along these lines. My view is not simply a question of the fundamentals about gold. I'm more interested in the fundamentals about dollar bills, fiat dollars.
Exactly.
All right? Again, I'm not buying gold because gold is yellow, shiny, and heavy.
Right.
That's not my motivation. My motivation is that I don't think the dollar is strong enough to survive indefinitely. Now, it surprised me, and it survived longer than I would have thought possible, and it may surprise me still. But there's no question that fiat currencies all go down the pipe sooner or later. And the dollar is on the verge of that happening. Now, it may be that they can hold it together for several more years, but they're not going to be able to hold it together. Its longevity is not increased by deflation. When the price of gold goes down, it means the purchasing power of the dollar is relatively higher. But it also means that the debt that's owed in dollars is also larger. You're paying off your debts with more expensive, with more valuable dollars. And the net result, that will cause some significant number of companies or individuals to go bankrupt. And the biggest debtor in the world is the government of the United States. I am amazed that they've been able to sustain this evidence of bankruptcy that we've seen in the last 6 months. I'm pretty much amazed by it. I don't see how it can continue. Everything they've done, if you followed the economics of the government and the Federal Reserve for, you know, any portion of your lifetime, you understand that the government has been pushing inflation, inflation, inflation. They keep on, they have insisted we have at least 2% inflation every year. And yet here we are dealing with a dollar that, as per the U.S. dollar index and price of gold and price of gasoline, is showing evidence of deflation. They want inflation to stimulate the economy. But now they are allowing deflation, which is a characteristic of economic depression. You know, how is this going to work out? I can't see. For me, I look at it and I say, all right, what are they doing? I don't know exactly. But I have to believe that the consequences will be they're going to push us deeper into recession, maybe into depression. What's going to happen in that context to the U.S. dollar? Is the dollar, if the dollar continues to grow more valuable, I think it's going to break them. I think it's going to break the government. They've got to have inflation, and yet they're tolerating deflation for the last several months. All that tells me is prices of gold has to go up, or something extraordinary is going to happen to the U.S. government our economy.
Which would still propel gold prices to go up.
I think it would too.
So either way, it's the only way out.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we ought to ask the listeners if they have any predictions for next year. It would be interesting. Maybe on Friday we can do that. Or if any callers today you'd like to let us know what your predictions are, if you have any. And they can give us a call at 800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. We're looking for predictions. And
not about whether the Cowboys will get to the Super Bowl, because that's I'm going to be in charge of that prediction on either Friday or Monday, whenever we predict we're going to have our predictions.
Is that okay? All right. It's going to be Friday.
Now you say it's going to be Friday. Is that a statement of fact or is that a prediction?
It's a statement of fact.
We'll see about that. I got one article here from Gold Eagle News. And the headline is, will the U.S. dollar remain the world currency of the world? The reserve currency of the world. Right? Now, this is an important question, and it's the kind of thing where whether or not the Cowboys get the Super Bowl is, it's not big news. All right, assuming maybe they do, maybe they don't, it's not all that important one way or another. But this is important. Will the U.S. dollar remain the reserve currency of the world? And the article explains that over the past six centuries, there have been six currencies from six different countries that filled the role of what we regard today as global reserve currency. It was Portugal back from 1450 to 1530. And then it was Spain for 110 years, 1530 to 1640. And then the Netherlands, 1640 to 1720, in France, 1720 to 1815, Britain, 105 years, 1815 to 1920, and the United States from 1920 forward. The United States has now, they point out that the average world reserve currency has been there for 94 years, is exactly the average for these six currencies, for six, they're running roughly a century each. All right, but in fact, they average about, some are a little longer, some are a little less, but they average 94 years per currency. We are at that point right now. We are, according to the article, we're at that point right now. How much longer can the U.S. dollar continue as the world reserve currency, and what's going to happen if it loses that standing? And if it does, it's really the only thing that's holding the, it's certainly, I won't say it's the only thing, but it's not backed, the dollar is not backed by gold, not backed by silver. It's backed by public confidence, not just in this country, but globally. If we lose our standing as world reserve currency, the purchasing power of the dollar will drop, and we will see significant inflation. The price of everything, including gold and silver, are going to rise significantly if the value of the dollar goes down in inflation, and teeter-totter effect, the other commodities and whatever will go up in price. What's the probability that that's going to happen in the very near future? I'm certainly not going to argue that the dollar loses its standing as world reserve currency in 2015. That's not my argument. But we've got another article here that says that Jim Willey, he's been studying this from the Golden Jackass, and he says global trade in dollars has decreased by 50% in the last 10 years. We've gone from over 70% to now we're down 37% of world trade is conducted in dollars. That's evidence that the dollar is losing its world reserve currency status. If and when that takes place and it becomes abundantly clear to everyone, the dollar's value will diminish dramatically. The price of gold is going to go up significantly. We're not that far away. I'm not saying it'll happen in 2015, but it certainly could. So this is one of these things that you can make a prediction that really has meaning as to what happens in your life and mine. This isn't about whether the Cowboys get to the Super Bowl. This is important. Will the dollar continue to hold world reserve currency status? We'll talk more about it when we return in a moment to Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. Alfred Addis, Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival. Got a caller, David from Indiana. David, what do you got for us?
You know, I was just, I came in here late to your conversations, but it seems to me deflation for the net effect. You know how when the Mexicans were working and then they had to get into competition with the Chinese with their billion people, and it drives their wages down. Well, deflation due to the government debt load and consumer debt load, it's out of proportion. So the net effect is you're going to have a lot less. It's the same as actually reducing, you know, your wages at a, you know, at a moral set of wages. You know, this is an immoral act. You can't look at this with any morality. It doesn't comply. They're out there. They got an unlimited amount of money, all these countries apparently, and they're out there buying up physical assets. And we're all going to be laborers. But if they can manipulate the United States, we don't have the 500 million workers out there competing. But if they can make our debt load that much higher, it has the same, basically, the same effect as reducing our wages. At the end of the day, we have far less money.
Absolutely.
And I think the most important word you used in there, you referred to this was an immoral process. What we're dealing with, the reason we've run into inflation and the reason we run into deflation is because we have a fiat currency. Right? Anyone who's been around the gold markets and you've had an interest in gold or whatever, over the years you've understood that, listen, you could buy a good suit of clothes for a $20 gold piece back in the 1800s, and you could buy a good suit of clothes for a gold piece, 1 ounce of gold, back in the 1940s, and you could buy a good suit for, you know, an ounce of gold today. The implication behind this is that gold is not, you know, it has its ups and downs. But its purchasing power remains fairly steady over time. It's the fiat currency whose purchasing power goes up or it goes down. When the purchasing power goes down in inflation, We are robbing creditors, people who lend you money. You go to a bank, you find a creditor, you say, can I borrow $250,000 to buy a house? And they say, sure, here's the $250,000. By the time you pay it off with cheaper dollars, which means it's good for borrowers. Inflation is great for borrowers, but it's terrible for creditors because they get ripped off. We go into deflation the other way. The currency gains value, and that is great for creditors, but the borrowers are being robbed. And the point I'm trying to make is that there is an inherent immorality in fiat currency. Fiat currency does not hold its value. What you could pay for a suit of clothes back in 1960 and what it costs you today are two entirely different numbers. And that immorality, almost criminality, is one of the reasons why I think the fiat currency certainly is not a good idea and may even be self-destructive in the end. I think people just get sick of participating in the robbery. Not everybody, but you can't have, you borrow money, somebody's going to get robbed if you're borrowing fiat currency. And it's either the creditor gets robbed by inflation or the borrower gets robbed by deflation. But if you have a currency that's bound to rob people, why do you want it? Something wrong then?
Yeah, well, with the interest on the federal debt, the compound interest, that's going to increase our taxes. That's going to take money out of our pocket. The compound interest on personal debt load on the charge cards and the buying of homes and trucks and whatever, that compound interest also is going to take an abnormally high toll on anyone who's actually in debt. The ones that have no debt at all are just sitting at home, government check, right? They might be able to buy more DVDs or another case of beer a week, but you know they're parasites anyway. They're not
they're not part of
the problem. They just add to the overall debt.
Well, what we're talking about is
actually. What
we're talking about is the debt. It's too great to be repaid as is. And when we lay on deflation, if that's what's happening, it only makes it worse. And it makes us that much closer to a moment where somebody's going to say, you know, we were reading earlier in the program that government just passed a law where some of the pension funds don't have to actually pay off. They can be reduced because they have problems. And that means the guy who's paid in for years and years and years in that pension fund, he's not going to get as much as he thought he was going to get. All right? They passed a law to make that legal. It's evidence of our inability to make good on our debts. We're not seeing it necessarily from the government just yet, but we're going to. We're seeing it in other places and pensions. When you have deflation, guess what? The debt becomes too big to be endured, and it's part of the reason why you go into a depression, you have deflation, you wind up with bankruptcies, you lose businesses, you lose jobs. Next thing you know, the economy is in a state of deep depression, and it's partly because it magnifies.
Al, with this new home buying at 3% down for first-time homeowners, when they open that up and they monetarize that debt, do you really think that debt is actually, when they turn that, they can it'll be back up to borrowing 10 times the amount of the loan? Do you think that money is actually going to stay in this country? It's going to go over, there's more interest to be made?
It'll absolutely move.
Yeah, that will be a major cash flow out of this country.
I know. And what drives it? Low interest rates. When the government says we're going to have near zero interest rates at the bottom of this whole thing, the people who have money are saying, well, to heck with that. I'm not lending my money to these people for a couple of percent when I can make 8 or 9% over in a third world country. Right? They aren't going to lend for a percent and a half or 2% or even 3%. I mean, some of them are doing it, but much money, a significant portion is going overseas, and it probably created the boom in the third world that we saw in the emerging economies that we saw for maybe 3 years out of the last five. It was money flowing out of this country. Our government funded the boom in other countries. They're supposed to be stimulating our economy, but thanks to low interest rates, they're stimulating a boom in foreign countries.
Now, this is New World Order.
Huh?
They're working overtime.
I understand. And what are they working overtime at, David? Are they working overtime to help us? Are they working overtime to destroy us? Or are they just don't have control and they don't understand what they're doing? What do you think? Are they good guys, bad guys, or just incompetent guys?
Al, there's too much follows to the criminality. These people just be incompetent. You know, the balance just isn't there. These politicians, one of them. I think the time is coming where they're not going to be going home and speaking to crowds. You know?
Serve a politician's preserve where they could go hang out and not be threatened with litigation or perhaps charges for treason. But it's like flipping a coin.
Yeah, well,
you flip and it comes up heads. You flip it again, comes up heads. Okay, that's interesting. Third time, fifth time, 100th time, it's still coming up heads. This is where we go into this notion, are they criminals? Are they good guys? Are they simply incompetent? When the coin keeps coming up, heads, it's evidence that the game is rigged. And that's evidence of criminality. It's not evidence of something benign. And it's not evidence of just incompetence. Keeps coming up heads.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, it is.
So what do you...
Much bright, sir.
All right, David, thank you. Good talking to you. Appreciate your call. I don't know if we have any other calls on the line here or not. When I'm talking to David, I can't follow the message. Thing.
No, there isn't. But, you know, in the earlier the program, we were talking about autos and so forth, and Murray wrote in, he says, remember when robotics came out and we were promised cheaper cars? The only thing that happened was we laid off the auto workers and charged more for the car. Do you think we were lied to again?
I think we're getting lied to virtually always. I don't know if it's always been that way and I'm just catching on late in life, or if, you know, they're lying to us more now than they did then. But I would never sit back and say, oh, if the government said this, it must be true. You know. So do I think they're lying? Yeah, of course. It's my first presumption. Of course I think they're lying. Are they? I don't know. Maybe they're telling the truth, but odds are high that, yep, they're lying.
They're good at it.
Well, they have more experience than a lot of us. You know, one of the things about it is how many people go up, they acquire political office, certainly in Congress and the Senate, and maybe even to some extent they wind up in offices where they are managing major bureaucracies. This doesn't happen so much with the bureaucracies, but in Congress, high percentage of people are lawyers. Problem with lawyers is they are trained professional liars, right? And that's not a slur. That's not some sort of hyperbole. That's a fact. If you go to court and I go to court, we've had an automobile accident out there on the road someplace, and you say that I'm responsible for that accident and you're suing me for $1 million, I guarantee you I'm going to deny it. Even if it's true, I'm going to say, no, I'm not responsible for that. And I'm going to find a lawyer who will defend me. And when he goes to court, he will say absolutely, positively, with all the sincerity he can muster, that Alfred Adams is innocent of that particular automobile accident. He did not cause that accident, and he will do everything he can to prove that, even though he knows it's not the case. In every single instance of litigation, at least one of the lawyers is lying. Your lawyer may be lying simply in saying that for whatever damage I caused. He's lying. Said, oh, he got a piece. Alf got to cough up $1 million to pay off scratching the bumper on Joe Smith's car. Well, that's a lie all by itself. And the point I'm trying to make, this happens always. They say it's a contest. They say it's the best legal system in the world. Well, it's the best legal system in the world for enriching people who are not actually damaged. That would be the lawyers. Or enriching them more so, enriching some people, plaintiffs, with more than they're entitled to. Or best system for ripping off defendants. Point I'm trying to illustrate is that the propensity of American people to elect lawyers to Congress and the Senate is a propensity to elect trained professional liars. If every lawyer speaking in court had to raise his hand at the beginning of trial and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth whenever he spoke to the jury, our entire judicial system would collapse. Right? If the attorneys had to tell the truth. In other words, if the guy comes in, he's representing a defendant, the defendant committed the murder. Not only the murder that's charged, but there's three more bodies buried out behind the barn. If the attorney was obligated to tell that truth, the entire legal system would collapse. We couldn't run it if the attorneys weren't trained to lie and allowed to lie. And that's why they don't have to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth when they speak to the jurors. They get to bamboozle. They get to fudge. They get to lie. These are the people who make a big chunk of the members of Congress and the Senate. And then you wonder, why does government lie to us? Well, in part because we have more than ample supply of lawyers running around Washington, D.C., who are trained. It's part of their profession. Police officers, they don't get to be congressmen, but they receive a course that they call testa-lying on how to testify at court in a way where you can get around that obligation to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They are another element of government that is routinely trained to lie. How's that going to work out for us? How are we going to get a positive result from a government that is dominated and allows, encourages, go on out there, lie, you know, give them the old razzmatazz, fool them, bamboozle them. I'm Alfred Addis. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we are out of time for today. We will be back on Friday.
Al, true? I would just like to wish the listeners a very happy new year.
Happy new year.
Absolutely.
And may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See you next year.
Yeah, see you next year.
Should all acquaintance be forgot and never